How's that?
FM.
Okay. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. It's going to flow on me. Thank you, Lord. You know, usually I have a big enough mouth. I don't need this, but praise the Lord. As I was saying, it's a joy. It really is a joy to be here today and to see all of you. And I just thank Sister Roseanne and Fran when she had called me on the phone. I believe it was, about a month ago or something? Praise God. Now I met her. I talked to her on the phone first, and now we put the phone voice and Fran together. Praise God. And everyone has just been so beautiful, and this place is beautiful. And I just thank the Lord for this place. I just thank the Lord for Pastor Hansen and Sister Roseanne and everyone that has put everything together here today, because it's just so beautiful to see what the Lord is doing. And Sister Roseanne had mentioned about our bookstore. That's a blessing. It's a blessing from our Lord.
I don't want to keep yourself on page.
Okay. You just tell me what to do.
I really want to open your Bible.
Yes. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. If you can't hear, just raise your hand and let me know. Praise the Lord. But as I said, it's an honor to be here the first time in this breakfast that you're having today. And I know the Lord is going to bless everyone here, not because of the word only that's going forth, but because you're here, because your heart is right with the Lord. The very point that you're here today shows that the Lord has sent you, each one of you, a special messenger from the Lord today. And it's a message of faith. And that's why we have our bookstore. And as Sister Roseanne had said, the Lord has also given us a little church and a home, and it's called a Branch of Faith. And I just praise God for it, because many years ago, I never would have thought of such a thing. Never. In all the years, I could never have thought of it. But our Lord loves us so much that He gives us His very best. He gives us so much. And you know, in order to just explain why I'm standing here before you today as a proud grandmother, as a proud mother, as I call myself an old woman, praise God, but I am here and alive and I am well, and this is for all of you, that's the message for everyone today, that even if you have a pimple on you today, that's going to go. That's going to go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because we're all new creations, right? New creations. And new creations don't accept anything. No kind of blemish, Lord. And that's what the testimony will show you today. I am going to speak today, and you'll hear me mention I. But it's not I that I'm lifting up. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what He did in my life. How the Lord made Himself so personal to me, even when I didn't know Him. Because there was a time when I didn't know Him, and I thought I was a good person, and I said, well, that's all I needed. I thought that was what I needed to get to heaven. But the Lord had to show me in a very different way of who He was and how much He truly, truly loved me. So if you have your Bibles, could we just turn to 1 Peter? This is what the whole testimony is based on, this scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. And then later on we'll get into more word. But just so that we'll know, I thought we could just start with this. Praise God. And before we even do that, I ask the Lord to bless this ministry. Bless it mightily, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just declare Your blood, Your precious blood, over this whole place, Father, and everyone here, Father. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I just loose to every single person here a gift of faith, Lord, that they would receive from You today, a personal message for each one, Lord, for each one, because You are Lord. You, Jesus Christ, are Lord, and You reign here, and we just say, Holy Spirit, have Your way. And we just thank You, and we just praise You, and we just give You glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So we're in 1 Peter 2, and it's going to be, we've heard this scripture many times, verse 24, and speaking about Jesus Christ, Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We've heard that scripture many times. We've even said it many times, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So he's telling us it's done already. It's done already. We're all healed. And that we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The day you accepted Jesus Christ, you became the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he tells us we became a new creation. A new creation. And old things were passed away. And everything has become new in us. That from that moment on, you inherit everything from Jesus Christ. Nothing from your parents. We did inherit many things, but from then on, Jesus is the one that we inherit all good things from. We don't inherit allergies from our parents. We don't inherit any kind of affliction. No way. No way. That's what this scripture means. We're the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and all things have passed away. All things have become new. Body, mind, and spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you see, at one time in my life, I didn't know that because I had never read the word. I was brought up in a beautiful family, praise God. A very lovely family, and they were very religious, and so I was religious. That's exactly what the word would tell you. I was religious. I knew there was a God, and I prayed to God, but I prayed to him as a faraway God, a God way up there. And I knew that prayers were answered, but I didn't know how personal our God really was. And in the 1960s, my father had gotten cancer. He had cancer of the lung. And we were brought up, you know, at that time, you take care of your own, praise God. And I know many of you do the same thing, that even though I was married, my mother was unable to take care of my father, because shortly after he had gotten cancer, she became a double amputee. And first they had to remove one leg because of diabetes, and then after that, another leg. So she couldn't give him these morphine shots that he needed, and there were certain other medications he needed, and so they had instructed me how to give him a needle, and that had to be the Lord. I didn't even know it then, but it was the Lord, because you know yourself, when you take your child to a doctor and they have to get a shot, how you turn away. Well, I was the same way, but it had to be the Lord to help me give my father, your own father, these shots. And sometimes it'd be more than 10 shots a day that he'd have to have. And it was really a trial. And the only reason why I'm saying this is just so that you will understand how the Lord worked in this, even when I didn't know him. And my father was a loving man, a very loving man. And he knew that I'd get very nervous when I'd have to give him the shot. And he'd say to me, God's going to bless your hands, you know. And that would give me the courage to go on and to help him. And then in 1961, he passed away. And at this point, my mother had to come and live with us. And of course, she needed care. And we had three small children. And I just praise God for the husband the Lord gave me. He gave me a perfect mate, let me tell you, because he's always been a blessing. He always was there, encouraging. And he took this woman into our home. And she became a part of our home. Now, after the loss of my father, I have to tell you that I had turned against the Lord. I just couldn't believe that there was a God who would take my father at 57 years old, and after I had seen him suffer for 2 years. And I thought it was God, and I blamed God for this. And my mother did too. And because of this, my mother became a very bitter person. And because of her being in a wheelchair, and she tried to help herself quite a bit, even though her bitterness was turned on our family, and she looked to us and the children for more than we could give her. And there was a lot of tension going on in the home. So the reason why I'm bringing this up too is to explain to you that our God uses everything in our lives. Our lives are a preparation for years to come. That every bit of that we went through, I was able to use years later. I learned a lot about medicine because we were constantly at the hospital, doctors and everything between my mother and my father. And then shortly after that time, in 1965, I got a bad report where I was told that I had cancer and needed an operation, and it was in the uterus. And I was 34 at that time. And naturally, you know, my mother, bless her, she was an old Italian woman, and she said, oh my God, you know, here you're hearing the report, and then my mother, instead of helping me, she's going, oh my God, the knife, they're going to cut my daughter, you know. And I was saying, oh, I need encouragement, you know. But at this point, she had had more than she could handle too, you know. And when my husband had come home, he couldn't accept this. And we went to another doctor, because I couldn't accept it, and said, well, this doctor must be wrong. But this other doctor found the same thing. It was cancer, and I did need an operation at the time where they would remove the uterus. Because of my age, they didn't want to remove more than that. And I just praise God for the doctors, because the Lord did use the doctors. Praise God. And, you know, I just believed what the doctor had told me. He said that you don't have to worry. It will never come back, you know. So I just went according to his word and just went about my business, still not believing in God. See, I didn't believe in God. I had turned from the Lord in the way I knew him. And then when this happened, after the operation, I found myself praying. I would pray to the God up there, but never really, really believing that I would be healed. I prayed that he would get me through it. This is the only way that I knew how to pray. This is the only way I was taught. And then before I knew it, in 2.5 years, the cancer was back. And I couldn't understand this. And I said to the doctor, he told me that this would never return. And he said, well, I just have to tell you, he says, out of 100 cases, he said, usually there's 1% that will come back, and you're the 1%, you know. So what could I say? So he said, I'm going to send you to another doctor because it's a little too much for me to handle. Sent me to a specialist. And this specialist was marvelous, a gentleman who really cared, not only took care of you, but he cared for you every step of the way. So he had told me I needed more surgery. And this time, this surgery was to remove the tubes in the ovaries and plus a third of the vagina, which is a little hard for a woman to accept. And he said, well, this is what we believe we'll have to do, but when we go in, if there's more, you may have to lose the whole vagina. And so I said, my goodness, what will happen then? He said, well, let's take it a step at a time. And without knowing, God was at work. He did remove a third of the vagina and the other organs, the tubes and the ovaries. And this was such a delicate, serious operation that I came home with a urine bag on my leg, because they had to do also something to the kidney and everything. And I wasn't well for a long time, In fact, I had been in intensive care so long that time that Nikki really thought that I was going to die at that time. And I did too. I really did, because sometimes, you know, I'm not telling you gruesome details for a reason. I am saying for a reason. So you will see when you look at this body what God has done. That's the thing. And this is not my testimony, but it's a testimony to Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. And to show you how stubborn I was all these years, I still did not know my Lord. And then within almost 3 years, the cancer was back again. And the doctor said to me, look, this is a carcinoma, it's a melanoma. They use all those big words. He said, just be grateful that you've been home with the children. And about a year before that, my mother had passed away. And it was very traumatic to us. And I was just glad that she wasn't there to see this return, because as all of you know, especially mothers, you suffer more than the child. And my husband, I believe, suffered more than I did when he'd see me in that bed and he'd see me in pain. And it cancer not only affects the body, but it affects the family. It spreads through a family, frightening them. You're surrounded with fear and all this apprehension. And this is what makes it all worse. And I only wish I had had the Lord at that time, because as I just get through this testimony, you'll see what the Lord had shown me. Because it was this third time when it came back, they said, well, we can't do any more surgery. We're going to give you cobalt. And they explained to me that this was a treatment that would burn the area. But in order to get at the site of the cancer, they also have to burn good tissues. And the doctor said to me, before this is over, you're going to wish that you had more surgery. And there was nothing that I could do but just go along with what the doctors had said. And we went for these treatments. It was 27 cobalt treatments. You'd have one a day. And I praise God for my husband, who made sure he was home to take me to have these treatments. And our children were growing up at this time. And they were growing up with fear. Every time they see an ambulance, they'd come running home because they thought it was for their mother. They didn't know what was going on. They were so insecure. And as much as I would try to make them secure, they couldn't escape from what was in the house. And my husband tried to do everything possible. When I couldn't be home, if I was in the hospital or somewhere getting treatment, he tried to take care of the children. And at that time, before my mother passed away, he was taking care of her too, which was quite an ordeal for him. But as I said, God is so good. He is so merciful, let me tell you. And I started the cobalt treatments, and they got pretty rough. And I was just wasting away to nothing, because through the cobalt, I was vomiting all the time and started an awful lot of diarrheas that as you ate, forget it. It was coming out one way or the other, you know? So I know many of you know people who've gone through this, and maybe some of you may have gone through this also. But I know there's a message here for some of you today that may have some fear of cancer, or may know of someone who has a fear. And I'm here today to tell you that we serve a God of the impossible. A mighty God. A mighty, mighty God. Because that cobalt treatment not only killed the cancer, and I praise God for it, but then they hospitalized me for what they call an implant, where radiation was inserted into the vagina as a little bar, and it had to stay in you for 51 hours, that it was not allowed to get out of that bed so that that wouldn't come out. And my husband could only come in the room a few minutes because there was so much radiation in the room. And they gave me a shot when they did this. And like I said, the doctors, the nurses were really, they were angels from God, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. But they were so helpful. They were so wonderful. And after they had to take this bar out, I thought, well, you know, that's it. It's going to take care of the cancer, and I'm going to be fine. It did. It did take care of the cancer. But that was the beginning of another hell. Because that radiation, especially that implant laying right on the flesh, had destroyed so much good tissue that it had destroyed my whole colon, my whole intestinal tract, that from then on, I couldn't live a normal life. I couldn't go shopping. I couldn't, well, first of all, I couldn't leave my house at all because I was bound to a bathroom. that every minute I had to wear something like a diaper because it was always hemorrhaging. There was constant diarrhea. There was vomiting. They had me on every kind of pill that you can think of. Not only tranquilizers, but they had pills, straight opium I was given to try to let me have a stool. I was given pills for urinating, for irritations, hormones, you name it. My cabinet was full of it. That I just automatically knew what I needed, and I went to that cabinet. And then someone introduced me to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. They asked if I would go to a Bible study, and I said, well, how could I go to a Bible study? I can't leave this house. And they said, don't worry, we have a bathroom. If you want to sit in the bathroom, it's all right. And I just thank God for these women who encouraged me. They picked me up, they brought me to Bible study, and I would listen. And I couldn't understand some of it. Why were they reading the Bible? We never read the Bible. What's going on here, you know? And they started telling me about Jesus and how much he loved me. And I couldn't understand, because I said, look, if Jesus loved me, do you see what I'm going through? How could this be, you know? I said, no, Jesus loves you. They kept telling me this, and they'd show me. They showed me in the Word, and I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. They had asked me, one sister, praise God, had said to me, are you born again? And you know what I said? I said, sure, sure. How could it be that I wasn't born again? What are they talking about? I'm so religious. I was so religious. Of course I was born again. Well, that night, the Lord got me on my knees, and I heard him say to me, are you born again? And I said, oh, God, I'm not. How could this be? But then the Lord brought the word to mind about accepting Jesus Christ in your heart. Confess with your own mouth, Jesus Christ, you know, and you shall be saved. And I did it. I did it in my own house on my knees, and I accepted Jesus Christ. And I felt something that I had never felt, such a peace in my life that I never knew was there. And I went to my children's beds, and my husband, they were asleep. I wanted to touch them and give it to them, but I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. But from then on, that was a complete turnaround in my life through Jesus Christ. I just praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. And shortly after that, they showed me the scriptures about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that, too, I couldn't understand. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And then when they started telling me about tongues, that was a whole other world. I said, whoa, you know, that's not from God. How could that be from God? No way. And they showed me, look, Linda, we show you in the book of Acts where they spoke in tongues, you know. And so I got to the point where I said, okay, I'll pray to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I don't want tongues. You can baptize me. Oh, I was doing the Lord a favor. You know, you can baptize me, Lord, but no tongues, Lord, no tongues. And so, praise God, I know that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And 4 days after I had received the Holy Spirit, I was in the tub and just praising God because I had finally gotten a good report. Every month I had to go for pap tests. I was constantly in and out of doctors, going for all kinds of barium enemas and tests, and they never were good, never good. And this one pap test had shown that everything was under control. Praise God, you know, praise God, praise God. And the doctor, you know how the doctors are, they can only speak to you the way they're taught. And they would say to me, it's a remission. You know, in other words, don't get your hopes up. Just be grateful you're home with your children. That's all he ever said. And I'll give you another pill. Here's another pill. You know, every time there was a complaint, here's another pill. Not that there's anything wrong with the pills. You know, when you need them, praise God that they are there. I'm not saying this to put condemnation on anyone, because without them, I wouldn't have gotten through it. And I know it. I know it. But praise the Lord, I was just praising God in the tub. And all of a sudden, these words came. And I thought, whoa, where'd that come from? You know, I couldn't believe it. What is this? And I said, wow. I started to repeat them. And I said, ooh, that's what it is. That's what it's all about. This is tongues. And I just grabbed a towel and ran out to my husband. I said, don't you laugh at me. I said, but I can say some words. I said, well, that's good for you. If that's good for you, you know, praise God. Because he was a great person, but he didn't want to know anything about the Lord. He didn't want to know anything because he saw his wife suffer. And he's the man who would walk behind me and pick up the blood behind me. And he's the man who sat by me when nobody else would. Even though you have a family, he is the man that was there all the time, and my children too, you know. But he couldn't understand that. He couldn't, because he too was blaming God the way I had. And I just thank God for sisters in the Lord who were always praying for me, constantly praying for me and encouraging me and lifting me up and telling me about a God who would heal. And still in my heart, I learned to pray direct to my Savior, but I couldn't believe for my own healing. I saw people being healed, but you know when the scripture says to you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you have to be where you're hearing faith, and where you're being built up, and where you're being lifted up in the Lord. Because I just praise God for all these steps that were in my life, because I learned, the Lord taught me, that I was hearing about healings, but I was hearing that healing was not for everyone. And we know that it is. Yes, not everyone is healed, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when you hear that our God heals and he wants to heal, that's a whole different thing. Praise God. Praise God. If you would turn with me to Proverbs, the 18th chapter, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There are many scriptures that the Lord had given me while I was going through this. And this is one that we have probably heard many times, but we don't put it into work. We don't put it into being, praise God. Proverbs 18, okay? And it's verse 21. Verse 21. Hallelujah. Thank you, my God. His word's alive. Oh, is his word alive. Glory to God. And in this proverb, the Lord is saying, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We have the power of life and death in our tongues. And the Lord showed me this firsthand. I didn't know it. I had never heard it. But the Lord showed me after it was that Holy Spirit that the Lord had given me that rose up in me. Because there came a time when my condition had gotten so bad that I could hardly walk. And they had brought me to the doctor, and the doctor was keeping constant watch on me with all these tests and everything. And he had said, Linda, the radiation has done so much damage. He said, they have never seen a person with so much radiation damage to her body. Today, when they examine me, they still see radiation burn. They gave me such an excessive amount because the doctor didn't want me to have to have it come back again. And as a precaution, he really gave me too much. And what they saw was that through all these tests, that there was no way that I could ever have a normal bowel movement, that there was no way I would be able to eat normally. There was no way I would be able to live without what they call a colostomy. And he wanted to do that operation. And when he said that word, there was something inside of me said, no. And I said to him, no. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean no? I said, God doesn't want me to have it. It's enough. I am not going to have any more. Glory, glory. You know, I just glorify the Lord in that. Without knowing, you know, in the Word of God, in Philippians 4, the Lord said for us to think on all things that are good and true and of a good report. And the Lord brought that scripture in my heart that I refused the evil report. And my husband said to me, you're crazy. He said, you're crazy. He said, you've always listened to the doctors. What's going on? Why aren't you listening now? And I said, Nikki, there's something inside of me. And it's telling me God said no. It's time for my healing, you know? And he couldn't see it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I just praise you, Lord. And you know, Nikki even made me promise this morning. He says, don't cry when you give your testimony. Praise the Lord. Because it blows my mind. That's the words I always use. When I think of what that God has done for me, and for how I had turned against him, and how I didn't know him, and for my stubbornness, and that I had to go through so much before I knew how real God is. Because it was 2 weeks after I had refused that evil report that I was totally, totally healed. Praise God. Glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That when I had gone to the bathroom, I had a stool. For 8 years, I hadn't had a stool since Cobalt treatment. The whole thing was 14 years that I had that suffering. But I just praise you, Lord God. I praise you. And you know, being sick so long, the first thing I thought was, uh-oh, something's wrong. You know, because how could anything be right? You know, how could anything be right? And I didn't say anything to Nikki. By this time, my children were all married. They were grown and married, praise God. And finally, after 2 weeks, I said to my husband, Nikki, you're not going to believe it. I had a stool. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we take all those things for granted. Normal functions where I couldn't even urinate right. You know, there never was a normal urination stream even. I had to have a pill for that. You had to have a pill for every single thing. And I said, Nikki, I said, I had a stool. And he said to me, are you sure? I said, well, I'm sure I know what that is. Praise God, you know. And I knew that I was keeping food in. For the first time, I was getting nourished, and my body was feeling good. I had forgotten what it felt like to feel good. And I said, my head even cleared up, that I could think straight. And I just praised God. I didn't have to get on that couch, because that's where I live. I do something, dust, get on the couch. Do something else, get on the couch. And I didn't have to do that. And glory to God, another big thing, I didn't have to open that medicine cabinet. The Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just praise God. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't have to take another tranquilizer ever again. I didn't have to take all that opium, anything. None of those narcotics. They were real strict narcotics that you could never have refilled. You always needed another prescription because they will not refill them. All those bottles laid there. And no desire, no withdrawal. After all those years, there was no withdrawal. It was a total healing. And then when I went back to the doctor, he said, I can't believe this. So I said, well, I can. I can. And it proved that the Lord had given me a whole new digestive tract. Praise God. Give you glory. Oh, my God, my God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, it's only you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And this was all because he showed me in his word. In his word. And it's in Romans 4, 17. Can we turn to that? Praise you, my God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And I pray that this will be your scripture, that you will use this whenever there is anything that's negative in your life, when anything comes against you, even, and we're not only talking in the physical, when there's a physical ailment, our God heals marriages. He heals relationships. Our God heals finances. Our God heals anything and everything besides the body, the mind, the spirit. He is so mighty, and he's alive today, and he's in you. He's in you, and that same God that did it for me, who said he's no respecter of persons, What he did for me, he'd do for you. He'll do for us all. And he wants us to get that faith by hearing and to know that, as he said in his Proverbs, he gives us long life, that nothing will take us out of this world. That is a disease. When it's time, when we're old, then we'll go to sleep in Jesus. And we'll not be taken out by a disease. No way. We have long life. And in Psalm 91, he said, with long life will I satisfy you. So you will not be taken out of this world until you are satisfied that you have done what the Lord wants you to do and that you are old. And in Genesis, it says 120 years. In the Psalms, it says 80 and maybe more. But I'm believing from the beginning, 120. So if you believe in 120, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Serving the Lord right up until he calls us home to be with him. Because that's what his word says. That's what his word says. Every bit of his word just revolves all around these scriptures that we're reading today. And here in Romans 4:17, it says here, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Now this is it. Even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Because our God, my God, and your God quickened this mortal body. And he brought me back from the dead. He brought me back. Praise God. Praise God. And he showed me that when I said no to that doctor, that's exactly what I was doing here. Calling those things which be not as though they were. That those 2 weeks I kept speaking it through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. No, that's not for me. My God is going to heal me now. Even though it looked the worst, that was the worst part of my life. And even of Nikki's and the children's. But my God took those words and he blessed them. The power of life and death in the tongue. Power of life and death of Jesus Christ, of his word. Not what we say, but what he says. That's positive word. That's it. Praise God. A God that we serve, who loves us so much and doesn't want us to suffer. No way. He paid the price. He did it on the cross for us. And in all of Proverbs, he said, that's his word. Take his word. He said, because it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. How much closer could you get down to every part of your body? Praise God. That's his word. His word is our medicine. That's what we need, to profess that word. Let him give you a word. Everybody probably has a different word. You just keep repeating that scripture that he's given you. And you believe in God. God will perform it. He will perform it as he did it for me. And that's why I'm here today, to tell you what the devil started when I was 34 years old. The Lord shows you here today that I am 55, and I am well. I am well. I am praising the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just worship you. We just thank you. We just give you glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to your name. My God, my God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then many times, you know, I didn't want to give the testimony because I didn't want people to think that I was lifting this body up. As I was saying to the ladies today, the Lord had shown me it's time to bring it forth and show that it's my testimony, Jesus Christ. It's his testimony of what he's still doing today in his believers. And in Mark 11, it tells us that you should say with your mouth, to this mountain to be removed, and it shall be cast into the sea. And we're not to doubt in our heart, but to believe we already have it, and we shall have it. So he says, no matter what it looks like, when you pray, you believe you have it already. And you shall have it, because you speak his word forth, and it shall come to pass. No matter what it is, it shall come to pass. Because our God wants the best for each of us. And he will give us the best if we believe for the best. And that's why even in that, I believe that prophecy, someone said about enlarging the vision. Praise the Lord. That's it. Enlarge your vision, because our God has a big vision for each of us. And when you get an evil report, refuse that evil report. Send those words back to hell where they came from. And you speak life. You speak that resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And you will see life in every area. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's why, was 6 years ago, the Lord gave us the store. And this was a testimony to our God for a woman who couldn't leave the house. To be in the store 6 days a week, all day long. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he has done, for what he's done. And the Lord gave me all wonderful things to eat again. Sausage and peppers and everything else that I could never go near. I lived on baked potatoes and rice to try to give you some kind of a stool. And then once I could taste that food again, wow, there was nothing stopping me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Made up for lost time, let me tell you. And it feels good to feel good. And it feels good to worship our Jesus, who loves you so much. And that's why today, as we go into prayer, if there's anybody who needs prayer or who wants prayer, we'll come together and be in agreement. We'll be in agreement that as we speak forth what is not, as though it were, and believe it and see it, it shall come to pass. Because we're going to speak direct to mountains today. Direct to the mountains, and they shall be cast into the sea. So I just pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you would just touch every heart here today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. Father, we felt that presence from the moment we came, Lord. When you united everyone here today, Lord, you're in our midst, and we just thank you. Oh, how we just praise you, my God, and give you all the glory, Lord God. You are so mighty. And we know that you brought everyone here today for a reason, Lord.